Quick check, Mr. Plummer. Can you hear us out there in Zoom land? I can't hear you, but you're not muted, so. You know what, Louisa? I think it's going to be that thing again where I've got, where if I'm muted all the way,
okay,
we're not going to be able to hear anybody out there. Mr. Plummer, try saying something again, would you please?
Say that again.
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Fantastic. I'm going to have to be toggling that on and off, though, so that we don't get all kinds of weirdness going on. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and call us to order.
Recording in progress.
I love working on one tiny little screen. At home, I've got a giant 32-inch monitor and then another 27, and then I come to this and I'm just like, ah. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and call us to order at this point. This is a hearing before the City of Tacoma Hearing Examiner in what pre-hearing submissions have billed as the matter of Royal Construction Group LLC's request for a rezone of a parcel of real property site located at the northeast corner of South 86th Street and South C Street with an address of 8441 South C Street and a tax parcel designation of 453-3000200 located in the City of Tacoma. The rezone request has been linked with a critical areas verification request also. It's my understanding that I'm being asked to finalize that and either approve or disprove it today. But I'm sure the applicant will tell me if that's otherwise. I will note this hearing is being held pursuant to authority that I have under Tacoma Municipal Code, or the TMC, Chapter 123, Section 050, and a whole bunch of other applicable provisions in TMC 1305, 1306, and even 1311. I will note that the applicant has the burden of proof in this proceeding today to show by a preponderance of the evidence, which is a more likely than not standard, that the requested rezone complies with the applicable legal criteria set forth in the TMC for rezone, and that the criteria for the request of critical areas verification have also been met. This case was set for today, December 15th, 2022, with a start time of 1:30 p.m., with a notice location of City Council Chambers, first floor of the Tacoma Municipal Building, located 747 Market Street, which is where those of us who are all physically in the same room are present, but we'll note that the hearing is also being conducted in hybrid format with access by Zoom for members of the public or the parties if they so chose. And it looks like we have our applicants present today through Zoom, so we'll take appearances here in just a moment and confirm that. I will note that all testimony today will be taken under oath, so you will be sworn in before that happens, and under penalty of perjury. And we are recording the proceeding both by digital audio as well as video over the Zoom. And I use that to go back and make sure I heard everything correctly the first time on the way to making my recommendation. What issues from this proceeding is just a recommendation, at least as far as the rezone is concerned. Rezones in the City of Tacoma of whatever stripe still are considered to be a legislative action, and I'm not the city's legislative body, but I am the city's legislative body's duly appointed hearing officer, and I have the authority to conduct the hearing, make a written recommendation to the City Council, the legislative body, and then they use that on their way to making a formal and final decision, either approving or disapproving the rezone. So let me take appearances here really quickly. And since the city goes first by hearing examiner rule, who do we have here representing the city today?
Larry Harla, I'm a principal planner in the current planning group.
All right, you'll be testifying today, I presume?
Yes, I will.
And what about other city witnesses today?
Today we have critical area staff here. Should you have questions?
All right, well, I'll take that then as you're not planning on having them testify unless I force them into it. Is that fair?
That is correct, Mr. Hearings Examiner.
Okay. And just note how the city makes its presentation is entirely up to the city. So you can do that. But if I do have questions, then I can call them in, I guess, if I need to do so. Who do we have here representing the applicant today?
Robert Plummer.
I'll ask you, I guess, when we have you testify. Is the applicant planning on having anyone else testify besides yourself, Mr. Plummer?
Dan is here. He's the owner of the company. He can speak for himself. I'm not sure. I see him up there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll cross that bridge, I guess, when we come to it then. The order of presentation today, as I've already alluded to, is the city goes first. And the city will make its presentation regarding its review and forwarding of the applications on for today's hearing. And then we'll hear from the applicant. I will note that there is an opportunity for cross-examination of witnesses. So after the city gives testimony from any given witness, if the applicant has cross-examination questions for that witness, you have the opportunity to pose those questions. Do note, though, that is the time for literally cross-examination questioning. It's not the time to agree or to disagree and make statements about things that the city has said. It's simply the time to ask questions in regard to what the city has presented to that point. The city will have the opportunity to cross-examine the applicant's witnesses, too, if it feels the need to do so. So the city will go first, then we'll go to the applicant. And after that, then we move to the public testimony portion of today's public hearing. I will note that at this point, almost 1:40 at this point, it does not look like we have any members of the public in attendance, either in council chambers in person or on Zoom at this point. So I guess we'll see what happens when we get to that point in the order today, whether there's anyone here who's needing to testify or not. I will note that I do ask questions along the way sometimes. Please indulge, tolerate whatever my interruptions on those. It's usually because I'm just seeking some additional clarification on something. If there is public testimony, or perhaps even if not, but usually after public testimony, we have time for the parties to offer some rebuttal testimony. And usually in a hearing of this type, that's to address things that come up in the public testimony portion of the hearing. I suppose the city might want to offer some rebuttal testimony based on what the applicant offers, since the applicant goes second. But we'll see how that goes when we get there, and we'll see if we have any members of the public show up at that point. And then each side can make a closing statement if you choose to do so, and then we'll be wrapped. And at that point, then I will take the record from the hearing today, all of the exhibits and everything, and work on putting together findings of fact, conclusions of law, and cobbling all that together into a recommendation for the council on the rezone, together with, I presume, at least final for the city anyway, decision on the critical areas verification permit. Are there any questions about anything to this point? Anything from the city?
I have no questions.
Okay, anything from the applicant to this point?
I don't have any questions. I've been working on this rezoning for a year, and I think that we've got everything covered.
Well, we'll see. So let me just address this then, one procedural matter before we get underway with presentations. Prior to today's hearing, I received from the city a battery of, 170 pages even. I was going to say about 170 pages, but it is 170 pages, of proposed exhibits that have been marked C for city, C1 through C10, and there are a few subparts to those here and there. Mr. Plummer, I presume that the city sent you a copy of its proposed exhibits for today's hearing?
They probably did. I probably haven't looked at them yet.
Okay. Well, that makes my next question a little bit tricky, because normally I would ask the parties if they have in fact reviewed them and if they have any objections to those exhibits coming in and being made part of the record. I guess if you haven't reviewed them, it's sort of a...
Well, I think at one time I did review them. It's not stuck in my mind right now. I can go back through my email. I think any conditions we do have on this rezone will work through.
Okay. Let me just add this. Even if you had reviewed the city's exhibits line by line, painstakingly through all 170 pages, like maybe I have, that is the city's file, more or less, on this particular permit application. And by hearing examiner rule, it's supposed to be admitted and made part of the record. So I give the other party an opportunity to make objections to that, but usually it's going to come in anyway. So, Mr. Plummer, can you imagine that you're going to have any objection that would overcome the hearing examiner rule that allows the city's exhibit C1 through C10 to come in and be made part of the record that you want to put on the record? I know it's a little bit hard to say not having seen them, but okay. All right, so Mr. Harlow, do you have a, perhaps say your last name for me one more time. I think I'm probably saying it wrong.
That's correct, it's Harlow.
Harlow, okay. Do you have a motion for me on admitting the city's exhibits?
We would respectfully ask that you admit all the exhibits, and I, to the point of hopefully the applicant doesn't have any objection. They have seen all the material, and I will also note that a lot of the material they themselves have submitted. So
that is indeed the case. All right, so with the city's motion, will be granted, and the city's exhibits C1 through C10 will be admitted, made part of the record. If for some reason, Mr. Plummer, while we're going through that information today, you find something objectionable, you can object to that if you choose to do so, and we'll maybe reopen that. But as I said, it's essentially the city's file, and by hearing examiner rule, it's supposed to be admitted and made part of the record. I don't have any other procedural matters to take care of them before we get underway. Mr. Harlow, are you planning on making a separate opening statement, or should I just swear you in and we'll go straight into testimony?
I'll fight with this microphone here. I am fine being sworn in and just getting right into it, if that.
All right, if you'd raise your right hand, please. Do you swear and affirm the testimony you're about to give as part of this hearing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Go ahead. Oh, and I should note also, I have the exhibits up here on my screen, but we're not getting any of that. So, never mind. Normally we have a screen up here that I can show those on. I can still share them on Zoom, but I'm not sure how that's going to end up showing up. If you're making reference to an exhibit and you want me to try to pull that up on screen, let's give it a go and see what happens.
All right. I think the only exhibit would be the staff report, and particularly the aerial, just as the beginning of my presentation here as I help orient everybody.
All right, so let me see if I can get that up. Talking about the site plan, or which one you want to go?
This will be on page, I believe, 3 of the staff report.
All right. So
figure
that's
2.
Aerial photo. Let me see what I can do in terms of sharing here. Hang on. Hey, what do you know? Well, we've got it up there, just not behind me. Mr. Plummer, can you see that on your screen?
Yes, I can see it.
All right, well, everyone that counts, I guess, can see it. Maybe, I don't know. You guys count too, but you can turn around, I guess, if we have to improvise that way. So we've got that up on the screen, and that's the aerial photo from the city's exhibit C1. Just for identification purposes, it's page 3 of 13 of C1. So go ahead.
Great, thank you, Mr. Hearings Examiner, and those in attendance here. My name is Larry Harlow, and I am, again, a principal planner with the current planning division and planning development services for the city of Tacoma. We are talking about our land use application, LU-220134, which, again, is 8441 South C Street. The figure that we have up on the screen here will kind of orient us to the site. The property is located really right off the Pacific Avenue corridor, right off of 86th and C Street. It's approximately, again, 0.34 acres. And the proposal is to rezone the property, which is presently zoned R2 single family, to C1 neighborhood commercial. And that's with the intention of constructing a 12-unit apartment building there, which the current zoning would not allow for and the proposed zoning would. And so to just orient everybody to the site, so most you can just see here in the aerial, most of the surrounding area, the properties along Pacific Avenue corridor are mostly retail, service, commercial. And then the properties to the south and the west of the site are multifamily. And you can see actually, we do as part of this proceeding, we have a critical area verification permit. And you can see, I think nicely on the aerial here, some wooded green area just to the north of the site. So I guess at this point it would probably be useful, if it's not too hard, to go back to page 2, just to quickly talk about the proposed site plan, which is for a 12-unit apartment. And I think on that figure we can nicely see also the buffer, the critical area buffer that may extend onto the site and is actually subject to the critical area permit that is part of this request.
So let me just ask a quick question to make sure I've got the lines right here. Which of the lines on the site plan is the actual outer edge of the buffer as it comes onto the subject property? Some of the indications on there were a little bit small for me, so I boost that up just a bit here.
And at this point, I will call my colleague Allison Cook, who is our critical area staff member from our department, who prepared the technical memorandum, which is Exhibit 10 in the packet, and is the primary staff member who's done the evaluation on that aspect of this permit.
Well, let me swear you in, since you're going to be giving testimony to answer my question. But then I'll direct you with the question to maybe make it real easy to answer. So if you'd raise your right hand, please. Do you swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give as part of this hearing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so do you have the site plan in front of you there?
Yes.
And I'm seeing a designation right up there in the middle, kind of as you get into that pointed corner. It says wetland buffer line, and that it looks like it's pointing to the line that kind of has lines and squares linked together.
It should be right there where the squares are on the line, because that is where we are requiring a split rail fence.
Okay, and there'll be signage there that indicates that it's wetland buffer and all that.
Yes.
So really the only part of the subject property that is just that really small right triangle there where that...
Yeah, it's like 100 and something square feet.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you for that. Go ahead, Mr. Harlan.
And so just to continue, now that we've had the buffer, the critical area buffer denoted, the site, you'll see there's parking configured, the full access for vehicles and parking, and solid waste service, et cetera, will come off of C Street. The building, as you can see, is positioned on the southerly portion right off of 86th. And then the rest of the site will have appropriate open space and landscaping. A little bit more about the site. So the site's total area is 15,000 square feet. It's approximately 120 feet by 125 foot in size. It has not been developed so far as I can tell, going all the way back to the 1931 aerials of the site. I couldn't detect any either building permit or kind of indication on the aerials that it's ever been developed. Again, I sort of mentioned the surrounding conditions. We've looked at that. The zoning for the neighborhood is predominantly, again, on the Pac Ave corridor, a mixture of commercial. And then the surrounding sites to the south and to the east are multifamily R4L. The comprehensive plan designation for this site, which is a really important factor here, is neighborhood commercial. And if the surrounding, and it is supported, the surrounding area, most of the properties to the north along the back half corridor carry that. And then we have mid-scale residential kind of to the east and to the south of the site as far as the comp plan designation. As part of this, we have completed our SEPA action, and that included issuance on November 30th and then an expiration of the appeal period yesterday. And just to let you know, we have no appeal on the SEPA.
Good thing. That would have made today a little bit dicey. It would have made today get postponed, I think, honestly. But anyway, no appeals, so no harm, no foul.
And if it's all right with you, Mr. Hearings Examiner, I'll just jump right into the staff analysis on this. The criteria for a rezoning, I mean, again, I think the big primary criteria is agreement between the proposed rezoning and the comprehensive plan designation. And as I mentioned, we have a site that has the neighborhood commercial comprehensive plan designation, and we have R2, which is single family. So right now, the site really could only be developed with single family development, which the planning staff opinion on that would be out of character with the comprehensive plan designation and really with the surrounding area.
Well, isn't it really a question more of just timing and catch up, because the comp plan says this should be neighborhood commercial, and at some point an area rezone would bring that vestigial R2 since 1953 zoning designation into compliance with the comp plan, correct?
Absolutely correct. And just to maybe speak to that a little bit, we do plan in sometime in the next several years to get kind of back to probably a commercial update, which I will assume will include some form of area wide rezoning. And so, you know, if and when the city gets around to that, we absolutely would be looking at sites like these to clean up. So it may happen automatically in the future. So that's the first criteria, really. And so the application is in agreement and would bring the site, as far as the zoning, closer, right in to what the comp plan envisions for the site. The other conditions are really kind of, substantial changes in the area, which have occurred. The history of the site has gone from, essentially rural, if you go far enough back, to just a slow advancement of, commercial development along Pacific Avenue and then multifamily throughout the area. The zoning, and again, zoning on this property has been in place since our zoning code was created in 1953. So the change in zoning classification, again, as I mentioned, is consistent with the comprehensive plan. And then we don't currently have a area-wide rezoning relating to commercial. We do have, just as a side note, area-wide rezoning going on right now with Home and Tacoma relating to residential. And this is not covered under what effectively is a moratorium on area on rezoning, site-specific rezonings for residential properties. As we have that area-wide rezoning going on, this is a request to go to general commercial, it's not impacted by that activity. And then the change in zoning classification bears a substantial relationship to public health, safety, morals, or general welfare. I don't know how strongly I can, expound on that, but certainly the city's direction, we are looking for more housing, more diversity in housing type, you know, with the hopes that, you know, if we can add to the supply, we can at least stabilize rent prices and just give folks an opportunity to live, you know, closer to where they work. I will also mention that we have funded and under construction bus rapid transit on the Pac Ave corridor. So this will be one of the most intense transit corridors in the city. And hopefully the BRT will be opening and up and running in 2024. So folks, you know, shortly after, you know, if this was approved and if it came in for permits and got constructed, hopefully folks that would reside here would be able to utilize transit. And that ties in with both the city's equity goals and also our environmental goals. So staff feels that even as far as that criteria, that there's a, you know, there's it's a positive, you know, maybe nod toward that as well. And the staff recommendation on this is we support this proposal, and staff concurs with this and would have a recommendation for approval. There are some, I will note that we do have some conditions. Mostly, now, much of the comment, the staff comment that is in the packet, exhibit C6, most of the staff comments were really advisory in nature, that were pertinent to future, you know, building and permitting phases. And the actual conditions we have really are mostly pertinent to the critical area permit in terms of landscaping. And I will point out particularly our recommendation C, that maybe I actually should have been even a little more specific there. I hope that it's clear that exhibit C10, which is the technical memo regarding the wetland buffer, one of the big things is that we want to make sure that we have native species planted that coincide with the report and what our critical area staff wants to see in their per our code and per standard. And if this might be a good time, if I'll look over to Allison if it's okay with you, if she had anything she wanted to add on that or.
Well, if you're ready to conclude your testimony, then let's maybe shift. I don't necessarily want to we've already ping-ponged once.
Okay,
hoping not to do that again. If you're ready to wrap up your testimony, then maybe we can switch to talking about the critical areas verification.
I am.
Okay. And I will note, too, that particularly in a hearing like today's, where it is a public hearing, but there are no members of the public here. When we have a large room full of people who are looking to possibly testify or who are here to inform themselves better about the question that's on the table, whatever the permit is or whatever, it's very helpful for both the city and the applicant in making a presentation to cover information that's in the written record already in C1 through C10 that has been admitted and made part of the record. When nobody's here, all that ends up being is repetition. And you know, if it's in the written record, it doesn't have to be testified through a mic to be part of what I consider. So, you know, if you were concerned about you're cutting things too short or anything like that, you're not. You're perfectly fine. And you know, to that end, you're still under oath. I guess what I would say is, because I did read your memorandum, I read all the materials that were submitted prior to the hearing. On the critical area verification side, the applicant submitted its assessment. You got that and you reviewed it, correct? And it seemed like there was a little bit of maybe back and forth on that of whether it's a class 4 or a class 3. You settled on a class 3 wetland, correct?
Yes.
And pretty much just verified then everything else that the applicant had submitted, said, yep, there's a wetland there, needs a 75-foot buffer. That buffer encroaches slightly onto the subject property, so you got to bufferize it, essentially.
Right.
What else do I need to know? Is there anything else I need to know beyond what's in C10 and the rest of the record on that? For purposes of finalizing the verification?
I don't think so. The back and forth was just that they had done their own delineation, but the development to the northwest on this site plan had already delineated it within, I think it was past 5 years, as a category 3. So wetlands don't change that quickly. And then looking through their report, there were some points that didn't quite add up, so we went over those together and got to a category 3 with a 75-foot buffer.
And when you say you got to, does that mean from your understanding then by the time you were done that the applicant agreed it was a category 3?
Yeah, they revised their report, yeah.
Okay. The applicant can certainly speak to that on its own when we get to your presentation, but I want to make sure I understood the city's understanding of where you ended up. So, anything else for me then on that?
No, it's a really small buffer on the property, and the way they proposed, which isn't really part of this, is going to be far enough away from that that...
And it looks like on the site plan, you've just verified the city's interpretation on this for me. It looks like that small area will be part of what's going to be a larger open space area on the property that would comply with the wetland with the buffer requirements, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have any more questions for you unless you've got anything else you want to add on the record.
Not right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I've kind of skipped here. Mr. Plummer, if you have cross-examination questions for Mr. Harla, let's go ahead and do that now. Do you have questions for Mr. Harla based on the testimony that he's given here today?
I don't.
Okay.
I think we pretty well covered it. There is a great work with. So
all right. Do you, no cross-examination questions then for the city's other witness? No? All right. Give me 1 second then. All right. Does the city rest then?
We do.
Okay. I don't think I have any additional questions, so... We'd be moving on to the applicant then. And I will note too that at the outset I said it's the applicant's burden of proof to show that the requirements have been met. The applicant doesn't necessarily have to do that through its own separate testimony. The applicant is entitled to rely on everything that comes into the record. And at this point, that's the city's exhibit C1 through C10, which, as Mr. Harlan noted, fair chunk of that is stuff that came from the city, but originally was submitted by the applicant. So there's a lot of that already in there. All that is to say that you don't have to present everything a second time in order for it to inure to you and you're meeting the burden of proof. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So, Mr. Plummer, are you wishing to testify today then? Well, I have one question, so I'm going to swear you in for that, and I'm going to hit you with the one question, and then if you want to waive anything else, you're perfectly entitled to do that. Would you raise your right hand on the screen, please? Do you swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give in response to my questioning as part of this hearing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So here's my question. And again, it's a little bit tough if you don't have those exhibits there in front of you. But Mr. Harla's made great reference to the city staff report. Were you given a copy of that staff report?
Yes, I was able to bring it up on my email.
Ah, okay. Great.
I'll read it and go through it. I apologize.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of, there are two ways to approach that. One is for you to just kind of roll the dice and roll with it, as we've kind of been doing. Or the other would be to say, you know, I haven't seen these, I haven't reviewed them, I'm not comfortable going forward without having reviewed them, so we would continue the hearing to a later date.
I think the first option will be the best.
Okay, you're going to just roll the dice and roll with it then, right? So if you've got that up in front of you now, that that Exhibit C1, the city staff report, at Section J of that report, which begins at page 8 of 13, there are recommendations and conditions of approval, and they're not terribly lengthy, but my only question for you was, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, when you said that you figured that any conditions or other things like that you'd be able to work through. My question for you is, the conditions that are stated in that report that is part of the record, do you have any problem with any of those? And do you have anything you want to add to the record in opposition or clarification or anything to those conditions as they're listed right now there?
I don't have any objections to those.
Okay. Well, that's the only question I have for you. Anything else you want added to the record, Mr. Plummer?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, still no members of the public waiting to be in here in Zoom, and no one in the council chambers. So it looks like we will be just dispensing with the public testimony portion of the hearing today. And given that Mr. Plummer's only testimony was in response to my question, I'm assuming the city doesn't have any rebuttal testimony. Am I right in that assumption?
We do not.
Okay. So that takes us right to closing statements then. And, you know, as with all other things, you can do it or you can waive it, I suppose. If you feel like you need to make a closing statement, you're perfectly entitled to do that. Or we can just keep rolling along. Does the city have a closing statement it wishes to make today?
I do not have a closing statement.
Okay. Well, you ended your testimony kind of stating where you thought the city was at and all that, so I kind of already got that message, I think. Mr. Plummer, are you wishing to make a closing statement on behalf of the applicant today?
No.
All right, then. So that brings us to just closing things up then today. I thank you for your presentations today. Two newbies for the first time in front of me today, Mr. Harlow and Ms. Cook. Did I get that right this time? I keep forgetting. It's Cook,
yes.
Right? Okay. And I don't have you on the witness list as a ready reference there. It makes it, I don't know why. It makes it harder for me to remember. But thank you for your presentations today. And Mr. Plummer and Mr. Pashesnik, on behalf of the applicant, thank you for being here today. As I said at the outset, once we're concluded, then I take the recordings and all the exhibits, and I go back over all of that and put together a written recommendation that includes findings of fact, conclusions of law. It will include a decision on the critical areas verification request, and a recommendation to the City Council on the rezone. And once that is done and issued by email, unless you can convince me to do otherwise, we're trying to do things as paperless as possible in our office for a while now. We'll email that out to you, and then it will get scheduled to be heard on a regularly convened City Council meeting on a Tuesday evening for first reading. And once the decision is issued, that usually happens within about a month, but we're kind of in a weird time right now going into the holidays a little bit. My guess is this will probably make it in front of council maybe towards the middle or latter part of January, just because of holidays and everything else going on. So that's where it'll go from here. Are there any questions or procedural matters that the parties have before we go off the record today? Anything from the city?
I have nothing. Thank you.
All right. Anything from the applicant, Mr. Plummer?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, again, thank you for being here today. Thank you for your presentations, and have a happy holidays, and keep an eye on your email box for the recommendation and decision to come out. And with that, we will be concluded and off the record. Have a good afternoon.